now, Lord, I understand that I'm nothing, but you're everything. And they've sung about you. They sung well that you've paid in full. Everything that we've owed, Lord, you've paid. And we thank you for that. And then, Lord, I'm glad I can come thirsty for every need. Boy, these days that I need a drink of that wonderful living water. And Lord, you're good this morning. Just want you to know we sure love you. Now, Lord, I'm asking for help today to preach as you want me to preach. Lord, whether it be teaching or preaching, loud or soft, matters not to me. Long as it's the way you want it this morning. May every ear listen. May every heart understand. May everyone be attentive to the simple words this morning. Speak to us, O God, I pray. And may everyone examine themselves. May everyone examine themselves in the sanctuary or on live stream itself. And Lord, I pray that you might get all glory. Lord, we thank you for all that you are, all that you do. Please remove anything from my mind or heart that's hurtful, anything that's like sin, anything that's even a shadow of sin. Lord, I'm sorry and ask you to help me today, I pray, in Jesus' name. And amen. I believe with all my heart that not just me, but I believe the Bible even teaches the greatest thing that could ever happen to you would be that you would get saved, that you would get and start a relationship with Jesus Christ. There's nothing any better than that. There's nothing there's just nothing more special than that relationship with Jesus Christ. I'm afraid that many people have missed it. They've taken him for the excitement, but they've not taken him for the relationship. And I believe this morning we find that a lot of times in the home, in the marriage, people get married right quick because it's all exciting until they wake up and the bad breath's there, and they ain't excited no more, and they don't want what they have. Well, can I tell you, Christ ain't like that. Religion sometimes will leave a bad taste in your mouth. A lot of times we come to church and we say, well, I was hurt at church. Well, the Lord didn't do it. All right. So don't come for the people. You come for the Lord and you'll be all right. Are you listening to me this morning? But what I want you to think about is being saved. That's the greatest thing in life. Trusting Christ as Savior is the greatest thing you could ever do. And everybody can do that. It's immaterial your age. When you understand you're lost, you can trust Christ as your Savior. But in all of this, there's some musts. There's some things that must take place. The Bible's got several musts in it this morning. Must means that there's no other way. You must. There's no in and out. There's no other ways. It's just a must. You must. To get in this sanctuary, through that door, you must come through that door. All right. Although there's other places you can get in, but these other doors are locked. That's the only one that ain't locked is the one in the middle. So you're going to must come through that door. There's some must in everything. Everybody understands that. Turn with me, if you would, to Hebrews chapter 11. And I'm going to show you just a couple musts, and we'll preach to you a very simple message this morning. But I just want to show you that there's some must laid out in the Word of God. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. Now, when we talk about a relationship with the Lord and being saved and walking with the Lord, living a life of faith, it is a life of faith. It's something you got to believe that you can't see. You're not going to have all the answers for, but you got to accept it by faith. And there are those who think that they don't have faith, but you exercise faith every day. We take it for granted. We've used the simple illustrations and analogies of flipping on a light switch. You don't flip it and expect it not to come on. You flip it and walk into the room and are shocked when it don't come on. You've already exercised faith. You go out in your car. Now, There may be times that your car don't run well, but normally you don't give it a thought. You go out there and Cheryl Ann got in the truck the other day. I wasn't home and she called me. She said the truck don't run. I was up Clarksburg up at the hospital and she said, what's wrong with the truck? I said, well, I have no idea. I didn't know anything was wrong. She went out there to hit it and it was just dead and nothing was on. But she fully expected by faith. She fully expected it to run. And the battery was dead. I left something on and I run the battery down. But we take things by faith. We live by faith every day. And the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 says, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You must believe that he is. You must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You must believe that. It's by faith. It's by faith. Look in Acts chapter 4. In Acts chapter 4 and verse 12. Acts chapter 4 verse 12 says this. Says, neither is there salvation in any other. This is speaking of Christ now. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. There's another must. There's no other way than Jesus Christ. It's not in the church. It's not in religion. It's not in baptism that we're going to have in a little while. It's not in communion. It's not in doing good. We've said so many times, you don't do good. You really don't want to do good fully, just at times. And you can't do good enough to achieve salvation. But it's through and by Jesus Christ, the only one that you must be saved through. He's the only one. And then there's even must for us after we're saved. In John chapter 3 and verse 30, John the Baptist is speaking about his relationship with the Lord. And he was the forerunner and told about this is the Lamb of God to take away the sin of the world. But he says this in John chapter 3 verse 30. He must increase, but I must decrease. There's some must to have the right relationship. It's going to have to be about him, not about us. Can I go ahead and tell you, that's one of the biggest problems we have in America is our pride, and we're more interested in us than we are him. But yet to have the right relationship, it says he must increase, I must decrease. Now there's no other way. That's just the way it is. There's no other way. It's a must. It's a must. And then even after we're saved, if you look on over in chapter 4, in chapter 4, look at verse 24. In John chapter 4, verse 24, it says, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. That's another must. There's no other way to worship him. You must do it in spirit and in truth. Now, we may have our own ways, our own wants. If it's not in spirit and truth, then there's no worship. You must worship him in spirit. So we see there's some must in the Bible. See, the Bible is not a book of suggestions or a book of if you take it or leave it. The Bible is God's word. God lays it out, and it's a must that you believe this book. It's God's word. It's a must. It's a must. And he makes sure that we understand to be saved, there's a must. I want you to turn over to chapter 2. We're going to start in John chapter 2. And we're just going to read down through. We don't want to bore you with the Word of God. A lot of people say, oh, I'm going to read a lot of Scripture. I've had people say that. Why do you read so much Scripture? Because it's better what he says than what I say. All right? You'll get a whole lot more out of what he says than what you will what I say. All right? But here in John chapter 2, let's look, and we're going to start reading in verse 23 And we're not going to stop. We're going to go right on down to the 18th verse of chapter 3. But let's go right here. John chapter 2, and let's look at verse 23. Now, when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover, in the feast day, many believed in his name when they saw the miracles which he did. But Jesus did not commit himself unto them, because he knew all men, and needed not that any should testify of man, for he knew what was in man. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, Ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh, and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, We speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. I'll stop right there at verse 18. And we see there's a lot of things in these verses. We're going to go back through most of them. And I want you to think about this. This is Jesus speaking, and he's speaking to one person, if you would, an individual. He's speaking to him about being saved, about salvation. Whether you term it being receiving Christ, being saved, born again, placing your faith in Christ, however you want to word it, it still is Jesus speaking about salvation to an individual. Now, I want you to understand this. This example is for all of us, that Jesus speaks to you, to an individual, about salvation. He don't just speak to a group or a bunch, but that he's interested in you, an individual. You are just as important as anybody else for when it comes to salvation or anything that God has. He does not want to begrudge you of anything. He don't want to leave you out. The Bible plainly teaches that it's not his will that any perish, but that all should come to repentance. So he's interested in the individual. And he deals with us on an individual basis. Though I'm preaching to everybody here and everybody on live stream, the Holy Spirit of God, God in his Spirit, still speaks to each individual. It don't come up on the wall and big signs, but he speaks in that still small voice on the inside to you, to speak to you in the need that is in your heart and in your life. He cares about you. Now, not only does he care about you, but he knows all about you. He knows all about you. He knows every thought, every deed you have done, every thought you have done. He knows what you're fixing to think. He knows what you're fixing to do. He knows what your evening will end up, and you don't have a clue yet, but he already knows. They sing a song you hear every now and then on the radio that he's already in your tomorrow. He's already there. He already knows. You think about that. But he's interested in you. Now, we try to hide things. We try to put on the dog, as they say. And we come to church in our religious attire. And we come, but God knows the truth. All right? And he knows all about me. So let's go back just for a moment in John chapter 2. And we're going to look at this. In John chapter 2, verse 23. And we're not going to stop at the chapter headings or anything. We're just going to go right on through. Is everybody with me? So let's look here just for a moment. It says, now we see that Jesus, he just performed a wedding at Cana. He had just performed a miracle, turning water into wine. They had seen great things happen. And now we find ourselves here in verse 23. Now, when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover, in the feast day, many believed in his name when they saw the miracles which he did. You know, it's hard for anybody to deny God. It's hard for anybody to deny Christ. Now, people do it, but if you're an atheist this morning, can I tell you that you can't be an atheist unless there's a God? You can't be an atheist unless there's a God. Think about that. I mean, I don't know why anybody, and people say, well, that's not a religion. Sure it is. It's your religion. It's your religion. But you can't be one. If there's no God, there's no purpose in being an atheist. It's foolishness. You know? So, think about that now. Everybody still with me? But many believe they get caught up in stuff. Many people get caught up in the great things that goes on around church and around religion. And they see the change in people's lives. Yeah, I believe too. You know, they want to get in on the bunch, not the individual. See, they got that banana religion. You know, I ain't never seen anybody just go buy one banana. They buy a bunch. They might not be too many in the bunch, but they buy the bunch. Well, a lot of people they come to the Lord by the bunch. If somebody else will do it, I'll do it. You know, I've even heard people say, you go, I'll go. You do it, I'll do it. Now, I'm not doing it because I need to. I'm just going to do it because you do, because I don't want to sit here by myself.
That's right.
It's true. Yeah. Think about that. But that ain't the way it is. It says here they didn't believe it because he said he was God. They didn't believe him because he said he was the Messiah, because he said he was the Savior. They believed because they saw miracles. They seen because of the things they was going to benefit from it. A lot of people want to go to church because they think they're going to benefit. It's going to be, maybe it will. Maybe it'll look good on a resume. Maybe it'll look good in your community. Maybe it'll make you feel a little better because of the crowd you run with. And can I tell you, I would rather run with the Christians than I would the world. Right? I'd rather run with that. And the influence ain't going to be a bad thing. But can I tell you, I can run with the best of you, the best Christian here, but it ain't going to make me a Christian. Huh? Now, I'm going to better myself running with you, but I'm not going to be saved running with you. Everybody understand what I'm telling you? I'd much rather run with you than I would a mass murderer, a child molesting, drunkard, dope dealer, thief, gambler. I would much rather run with you as I would run around, because I'm going to get in trouble if I run around with that other crowd. I doubt I get in trouble running around with you. I doubt I get in trouble running around with somebody. The true Christian, I won't get in trouble. But look at verse 24. It's a very important verse, 24 and 25. You very rarely hear anybody mention it. See, verse 23 says, when they saw the miracles, which he did, they believed when they saw the miracles. But verse 24 says, but Jesus did not commit himself unto them, because he knew all men. He knew what they were. He knew that they were just there for the miracles. When he fed the thousands with the two fish and loaves of bread. Yeah, they didn't hang with him long. He said, "You follow me because of the bread." You know what he said? See, he knew the heart. He didn't commit himself to them. When you get saved, can I tell you, he goes ahead and commits himself to you as you commit yourself to him. But here he said he didn't commit himself to them. Why? Because he knew. See, I'm afraid that in our churches today, there's a lot of people that have come because of the miracles, but he's not committed himself to them.
Amen.
Because they've not committed themselves to him neither. They're not truly saved. Huh? We go on and look at verse 24. It says, "But Jesus did not commit himself unto them because he knew all men, and needed not that they should testify of man, for he knew what was in man." He knows what's in you this morning. Can I go ahead and tell you that's disguised as a church member, he knows what's inside of you. He knows whether or not you're truly saved or not. He knows. He knows. He knows whether or not you have a relationship with him. Or he knows whether or not there'll come a day and he says, "Depart from me, I never knew you," even though you say, "Lord, Lord."
Right.
He knows. He knows all men. He knows. He knows why you say you follow Jesus. He knows why you do what you do. He knows the intent of our heart. He knows us plumb through. Think about that. He knows the truth. It's just, we can sum it all up with that. He knows the truth. He knows the truth about Mark D. And he knows the truth about you. He knows the things that you've done that you've denied. He knows the things you've said that you've denied you've said. He knows why you said, regardless of why you say you said it. He knows why you went there, why you done that, why you acted that way, why you reacted that way. He knows. He knows. He knows what you do in private. He knows what you do when no one else is around. He knows what you think when no one else is around. He knows what you look at when no one else is around. He knows what you listen to when no one else is around. He knows. There's nothing hid. Nothing hid from him. When we see things, you know, I've seen people do things that they had no clue I saw. And we'll never tell you, but there's things, little kids, you ever see little kids do things? And then when you ask them, they lie out of it, you know.
Yeah.
Well, I've seen adults do that, and then if you'd ask them, "Well, why? I didn't do that." Well, sure you did. I saw you. But he sees. But you know, it's one thing to see what you do, but when he sees the intent, you know, I can't see your intent. I can only see your actions. But if I can see your intent, wow. I don't know if I'd want to be around Mark if I showed everybody. You wouldn't want to be around Mark if you saw all my intents. We okay? I just want you to understand that the Lord knows. It says here, "For he knew what was in man." Now, while this is going on, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night. Now, I don't know why he came by night. I reckon because it wasn't day. A lot of people said he hid. I don't know why. I don't know if he hid. The Bible don't say that. They've done been had a lot of going ons all day, so now it was night. And Nicodemus comes to him. And he's a Pharisee. Now this is not just your Johnny come lately. This is a Pharisee, a ruler of the Jews. And he had enough sense to know that when he come to Jesus there in chapter 2, he says, I know that you're a teacher come from God, because ain't nobody can do these miracles if they've not come from God. What I've seen been going on here in the last little while, you got to be from God. You got to be. Well, that would be a normal reaction. Anybody had two cents in their head at all. Right? You see things happen. If you just saw water turn to wine and you've just started seeing miracles happen, you say, wait a minute, this ain't your ordinary. This ain't your ordinary. And that's what he did. Now, he is not just a Pharisee, he's a religious leader. Now, what we need to see who this man is. He would be like our modern day senator. He's a ruler of the Jews. He's a Pharisee. He's a religious leader. Carried his copy of the Old Testament scriptures. Knew it from Genesis to Malachi. Knew her word for word. Could quote it. Had things sewed in his clothes. Reminders. Kept the law. He prayed 2 hours every day in the temple. You ever come to church and pray 2 hours? Have you ever knelt down and prayed 2 hours? Yeah. 2 straight hours. Every day. He paid 10% of everything he had. He tithed regularly. Of everything he had. I mean, he was upstanding. He was religious. He fasted 2 days a week. 2 out of 7, he fasted. Now that's pretty good, is it not? If you fast 2 times a week, 2 days a week you fast completely, that you pray in the temple every day for 2 hours, ain't nobody ever called me and said, let me in the church house, I got to do my 2 hours praying at the church house through the week. Ain't nobody ever asked me that. In 39 years of pastor, ain't nobody wanted in to pray for a couple hours every day. Huh? I mean, he was religious, wasn't he? I mean, that'd be pretty tight to live by, don't you think? Now, he never missed his tithe. Never. Are you hearing me? It didn't matter where it was vacation. It didn't matter where the school was starting. It didn't matter when he paid his 10%. Are you hearing me? That's what he done. In fact, if he would come to Mount St. Baptist Church, I'd ask him if he wanted to be a member. Huh? I'd put him in a position. Huh? We okay? That's what he was. Good man. Religious man. Giving man. Dedicated man. Committed man. Acknowledged that Jesus had to be from God or he couldn't do the miracles that he done. Right? And Jesus don't even comment and nothing he asks. He just says this. Verse 3. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus wants to talk a little bit more. Jesus tells him again in verse 5, except a man be born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Verse 7, he tells him this, marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. Would you have told Nicodemus that? You wouldn't have told Nicodemus that. You'd have pat him on the back and said, man, you're a great guy. Let's go out to dinner. No, he looked at him and said, you must be born again. You know why? Because that's the bottom line. You must be born again. Amen. I'm going to preach to you for just a very few minutes now. You must be born again. You cannot, you will not see the kingdom of God. You will not spend eternity with God unless you are born again. you must be born again. It matters not whether you pay your tithes. It matters not how many hours you pray. It matters not how much Bible you know. It matters not how often you come to church or how much you give away. If you've never been born again, you're lost. Without God, without hope, and you need saved today, you must be born again. You must be. Nicodemus says, well, wait a minute. How can I go back into my mother's womb? I can't start all that over. He's so smart. So smart. But yet he missed it. Jesus tells him, said, that ain't what I'm talking about. The wind blows. You see it moving. You see the evidence of it. But you don't know where it's come from or where it went after it left there. He says the same way of being born. It's a supernatural. It's something in here you got to take by faith. You turn to Christ. You repent of your sins. You turn and you place your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And He borns you new. But you must be born again. You don't get it from heritage. You don't get it from the vote of the people. You don't get it because everybody says you're good. Because everybody likes you and accepts you. You don't get it by changing. You don't get it by reforming and quitting doing these things. You must be born again. Somewhere you're going to have to come to Christ and let Him do the supernatural work inside of you. We all know that being born is supernatural. Being born, I don't understand how a man and woman can get together. They have relations, and then here comes a baby. I can't even comprehend how that seed comes together, and then there's blood, and then there's life with the blood, and it grows. And basically, we all look the same. Huh? We all, eyes and ears and nose and fingers and toes, heart and lungs and, huh? Now, it don't stay like that long. We change and we look different, but basically, huh? Well, I reckon if you skin us all, we'd all look pretty well the same. Huh? Right? Skin us all, take all the meat off the bones, hang us up, and we look like that fella in the doctor's office. Right? I don't know who that fella is, but he looks like the fella in that other doctor's office. Right? All look the same. I can't comprehend all that. I can't comprehend how my blood circles my body and my metabolism so many seconds that I've got the same amount of blood you got. And that unless I got an ailment, then your blood goes through the same speed mine does. Huh? And we're different than animals. You know? I don't understand a lot of things about the life and all these things. You know, I've told you before, I don't understand how come a turtle eats grass, he's got a shell, a rabbit eats grass, he's got fur, a chicken eats grass, he's got feathers. They're all different. But yet, we're basically all the same. Huh? We all walk straight up. Well, we used to walk straight up. Huh? Right? Are you following me? That's not what Jesus is talking about. He's not talking about this being born again. He's talking about this being born again. See, I can reform to an extent. But only to an extent. I can reform if I drink alcohol. I can reform and quit drinking. If I smoke or chew, I can reform and quit smoking and chewing. If I can reform from doing certain habits and maybe going certain places, I can quit that. I can quit that. But yet in my nature, that's not changed. Because there'll be blaspheming still come out of my mouth. And everybody's listening to you. And then there'll be times that I still do everything I used to do. And I know we can split hairs here and we can do a lot of things. I'm just telling you, we do it because of the old nature. But yet the Bible says in 2 Peter, if you want to turn there, 2 Peter, there's got to be a change is what I'm trying to tell you. That born again. Maybe today, listen to me, maybe today you say, well, I was born a homosexual or a lesbian, or I was born, I was supposed to have been something else. You must be born again. You must be born again. Well, I was born a liar. Yes, you was. Everybody in here was born a liar. Everybody in here, liest bunch ever I did see. Huh? You need born again. Because all liars, the Bible says, will go to hell. What the Bible says. The Bible says that all liars will spend their time in the lake of fire. We still okay? So you need born again. But see, what you need is your nature change. 2 Peter chapter 1, starting verse 3 says, according as his divine power has given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Can I tell you that you need a new nature? You say, well, it's just not my nature to go there. Then you need born again. So it'll be your nature to come to church. And you say, well, it's not my nature to read the Bible. It's just not my nature. I don't have that nature. Well, then you need born again that it will be your nature. It's not my nature to stand up in public and speak of things. Well, you need born again that you can stand up in public and speak the things that God has done to you. You need a new nature. You need born again. You must be born again. There has to be a change. There has to be a change. If there's no change, you've not been born again. Are you hearing me? Not if you've been reformed. Not if you've quit something. But if you've been changed. That's no longer the way you are. I know men and women in this sanctuary this morning, we've done it many times. We've even had them stand. And they can tell you what they were. But after they were born again, they've never been that again. Because they were born again. There's some here, I know, that were drunken, blasphemer, gambling. They done it all. But they were born again. And now there's no blasphemy ever comes out their mouth. And there's no liquor ever goes to their lips. And there's no gambling. There's just been a change. And then we say, yeah, but then they had a different. I'm just telling you, you must be born again. That's what I'm telling you this morning. If you still do the same thing you always done, you must be born again. If you still act like you've always acted, you must be born again. If there's been no change, you're lost. And you're going to go to hell. You must be born again. You must be. It's not if you want to be. You must be. You will not go to heaven. You will not spend eternity with God. You will not ever see the kingdom of God unless you are born again. You must be. Let's go on down. We look at a few things here. We see that in verse 7, marvel not that I said to you, you must be born again. What's born of flesh is flesh. But what's born of the Spirit is Spirit, he said. You must be born again. Verse 8, he tries to explain it a little bit. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh, And whether it goes, so is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Verse 9, Nicodemus answered and said unto him, how can these things be? Jesus answered and said to him, art thou a master of Israel? Knowest not these things? Now you're all for religious and you don't know. So I believe I'm talking to a pretty well religious people this morning. But yet we have questions concerning whether or not we're saved or not. Okay, let's read on. Verse 10. Jesus answered and said unto them, art thou a master of Israel and knowest not these things? Look at verse 11. Verse 11 has so much in it that I hear today. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know. Let me stop right there. Everybody knows. Ask them. Hey, you know you need spam? Yeah, I know. You know you need? Yeah, I know. You know you need born again? Yeah, I know. You know if you don't have Christ, you're going to hell? Yeah, I know. You know you can't live like? Yeah, I know. I hear that all the time. In fact, I've heard it. I don't know. I can't even count the times this week I've heard it. But I hear it every week. Yeah, I know. Yeah, I know. Yeah, I know. Jesus looked at the demon and said, that's all I hear. Yeah, I know. But look what the rest of it says. We speak that we do know. And we testify that we have seen. And you receive not. You know, but you don't do nothing about it. I talk to people and say, you know, you used to go to church. You ought to go to church. Yeah, I know. But you don't change it. You know, you shouldn't live like, yeah, I know I shouldn't. But you don't change it. You know, you shouldn't talk that way. Yeah, I know I shouldn't, but no change. That's what Jesus told Nicodemus here. He said, you say you know. And I'm going to go ahead and go out on a big limb here and say that everybody here knows that you must be born again. But everybody ain't in here. Everybody in here is not born again. Not because you can't be, it's because you won't be. There's not been no change. There's no compelling in your heart or in your mind to live a godly life. But yet if you have a part of the divine nature that it says there in 2 Peter chapter 1 that he imparts you that you are a partaker of a divine nature, there'll be a desire somewhere to fellowship with God. Do you have a desire to fellowship with the Lord? Now go to church. Huh? Do you have a desire to fellowship with the Lord? Huh? I don't care if you're young or old. Huh? Do you have a desire to fellowship with the Lord? When you rise in the morning, do you want, is there a desire to sing His praise or to meet with Him in prayer or to read for direction for your life? Is there a desire that pulls and moves you? Or you say, nah, I just take it every day and I'll go to church on Sunday. You must be born again. You say, well, you're telling me I'm not saved. No, I'm telling you, you must be born again. That's what I'm telling you. I'm telling you that if you're born again, you'll be a partaker of the divine nature that it says there in 2 Peter chapter 1. That's what the Bible says. Amen. Mark didn't say it, the Bible says it. Amen. What's born of flesh is flesh, what's born of the Spirit is spirit. And there's been too many that have believed because of the miracles, but not have believed because of Him.
Right. Amen.
Right. And you're not born again. And you're wondering why your crotch is sore because you've been on the fence. Huh? You need born again. You must be born again. You must be. Not you should be, you must be. You must be born again. Now we look on. Verse 14 says, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Now, he's talking to a religious leader that knew full well everything about Moses and the children of Israel and how that there was a plague come through and they had been bitten and how that they had took made a brazen serpent and held it up, and that the only thing necessary for them to be saved was to look at that serpent as Moses was lifted up. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so shall the Son of Man. He said, now, as they looked and were saved, then I'm going to be lifted up on the cross of Calvary. You're going to have to look to me. To be born again, you're going to have to look to Jesus Christ to be saved. Are you hearing me? It's not in the church. Is church a part of it? Church is after you're saved. Church is supposed to be a vital part of your life after you're saved. But church don't save you. Huh? Baptism should be a part of your life after you're saved, but baptism don't save you. Communion should be a part of your life after you get saved, but communion don't save you. Good works ought to be a part of your life after you get saved, but good works don't save you. You must be born again. There has to be a supernatural work that comes in when you believe and you look to Christ and you trust Him as your Savior. He does a supernatural work on the inside of you. And you're not what you was. You're not what you was. You cannot be. You cannot be. Huh? We still okay? Let's drop on down here. Verse 15. That whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. He said, Nicodemus, you not understand that God has given you a gift. Jesus Christ to give me Him, not the miracles. Jesus already told me, if you believe not that I am He, you will die in your sins. It's Him. It's Him. It's Him. Huh? Jesus said, follow me. Not just follow, follow me. Huh? He did not tell the people to follow the disciples. He said, follow me. Are you hearing me? Now we all say, well, I know Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. That's because he was trying to teach them because they didn't know nothing. Not for salvation. Huh? Joe Brown said it good one time we was talking. He said when he got saved, he didn't know nothing. And whoever led him to the Lord or the church he went to, he said, well, just follow me and I'll have enough faith for both of us for a while and I'll teach you. Joe said, I know I was saved. He said, but I didn't know how to act. Didn't know what to do. Didn't have no, I just knew I got saved. He said, well, follow me. And that's what Paul was saying. But Jesus said, you follow me to be saved. For there's no other. Everybody, we okay? Everybody listening to me? Now, let's look on here in John chapter 3, about done here. Verse 17. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world. God didn't just send His Son down here to preach judgment or tell you this or that. He came into the world that you might be saved. And your sins condemn you yourself. He didn't come to do that. He came to show you I'm the way. I'm the truth. I'm the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. That's what He came to do. Now let's look on. Verse 18. He that believeth on Him is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already. See? He didn't come to condemn. You're already condemned. Because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Have you been born again? Have you been born again? Huh? I'm not talking about dates and times and days and, well, I went to a revival. Well, I went to a lot of revivals growing up from the time I was born. Huh? In fact, When I was in mommy's belly, we went to revivals. I went to revivals since I was conceived, I reckon. Right? That ain't what I'm asking you. I had a praying mommy, praying daddy, praying papa, mama. That's wonderful. And I'm tickled to death I had that heritage. But that don't save me. I had a great pastor. I loved him dearly. He was my friend. He was my pastor, but he was my friend. But that had nothing to do with my salvation. Keith Dealer. Well, let's start. I've told you before. I'm going to tell you again. Gloria Jean Treadway and Mary B. Price started teaching me about Jesus in Sunday school. But it didn't save me. I went from there to Miss Corder's Sunday school class. And then she stepped down and Mildred Payne took over. And I went to Sunday school class under Miss Corder's, then Mildred Payne. And then we left there at Cotton Hill Church and went to Dothan. Daddy started pastoring, and Janelle Jordan taught me for just a little bit. And Mooney Civi, Mooney Secrets at that time. Janelle Jordan and Mooney Secrets, my Sunday school teacher. Been a long time ago, Moonbeam. And I went from there to Keith DeLong. And Keith DeLong told me about Jesus. He hold up that Bible. And he didn't have no thumb on his left hand. He'd hold that Bible. I couldn't get my arm up. And he'd hold that Bible like that, and it would fold over, and he'd cry and tell me how much Jesus loved me and how much I needed saved Sunday after Sunday. But he never saved me. I went from there to a church bus where L.T. Jordan taught all the teens, and they would be a pile of a whole big bus full of young people, and he would teach me about Jesus, but it never saved me. I sat under William Secret's preaching, Preacher Bill, under Boyd Secret's preaching, under Olin Grimmett's preaching, Chick Card's preaching, Wilmer Truman's preaching, Harmon Davis's preaching, Les Garden's preaching. I sat under their preaching time in and time out, over and over and over and over. But Jesus had to come in my life and born me again.
Amen.
Huh? You must be born again. You must be. Have you been? Have you been born again? I've had a better heritage as far as spirituality goes in church than most. I wasn't traded for nothing. But that ain't what saved me. Huh? I've been under, as far as I'm concerned, some of the greatest preachers. Been acquainted with some of the greatest Christians that as far as I'm concerned, that I've ever been around. But that didn't save me. I've been to churches all over the country growing up, singing in revival. 6 years old, 5 years old, 6 years, right on up, singing in a quartet when I'm a teenager. I done it, but that didn't save me. I had to be born again.
Amen.
And I was.
Hallelujah.
Where I knelt down and trusted Christ as my Savior. And He born me anew on the inside and forever changed my life.
Yes.
Have you been born again this morning? Huh? Sure, go to piano. If you're not saved this morning, you're condemned already. You must be born again. Let me ask you, have you been born again? Are you saved this morning? Are you truly saved? No doubt in your mind. You're truly saved. You know that Christ has come into your life and you've passed from death into life. You know that. You know that. Are you born again? You must be born again. Has nothing to do with revival. Has nothing to do with the preacher. Has nothing to do with the coal mine or wherever you made a profession. Had nothing to do. Have you met Christ as your Savior? Have you been born again? Has He come into your life and changed your life? Change your desire. Change your feelings about Him. Are you saved this morning? My daddy was preaching the night I got saved, and my daddy was just a messenger, and it wasn't daddy that saved me. It was Christ that born me again. Have you been born again? I'm not going to ask you to lift your hand. We're not going to ask you to bow your head. I'm going to ask you to stand up right now. Let's sing right now. And I'm going to ask you to slip out of your seat and come and